The United States of America was founded ultimately by Christians of different denominations seeking religious freedom, and the first freedom listed in the first 10 amendments of the Constitution, that is the Bill of Rights, is religious freedom. America is sensitive to the issue of religious freedom, even in other places around the world where it can be dangerous to be a Christian. Wendy Wright heads up Christian Freedom International, and she joins us to give an update on anti-Christian persecution in the world at this time. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and I will timestamp this interview. We are talking in mid-May in the year of our Lord, 2026. Wendy, welcome back to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. So glad to be on to talk about really some breaking news that is happening even today.
Really? Okay. Well, go ahead. What's the news?
Yeah, so Nigeria certainly captured our hearts and attention. Those of us who care about Christians who are being persecuted, Nigeria has just been a mass slaughters of Christians for years now. And finally, it's caught people's attention, including the United States of America. And so just to give some background, more Christians are killed in Nigeria every year than every other country combined. And they're killed in just the most horrific ways by jihadist terrorists, both Boko Haram and ISIS, and then other break-off splinter groups, but they all come from the same ideology, and they use incredibly violent, vicious, dehumanizing tactics against Christians, not only killing, but also enslaving and abusing in horrific ways. Now, there are some who just simply want to turn attention away from what Christians are suffering, and they claim that there are other reasons why this is occurring. They blame it on climate change, other politically correct causes. But the reality is that there are terrorist tactics being used against Christians and others as well, but certainly Christians are targeted because of their faith. So the breaking news is just on Friday night, the Trump administration announced, I should say in the early mornings of Saturday, announced that on Friday, the United States, in conjunction, in coordination with Nigerian military, had struck and killed one of the top leaders of ISIS in Nigeria. It was a key, really a key and very hopeful, encouraging action that's been taken that if it continues on, it can help possibly to dismantle the power that the jihadists have had as they've just continued their attacks on Christians with impunity. But the really even breaking news, even though we're speaking now on May 18th, just hours ago, it was announced that the U.S. engaged again with the Nigerian military to go after ISIS terrorists, and at least about 20 have been killed. So one thing I'll note that's significant about these actions is that the Trump administration is dealing with this not only as an issue of religious freedom, religious persecution against Christians, but they're treating it as an issue of terrorism and using counterterrorism measures to address it, working alongside in conjunction with Nigeria, so not in invading Nigeria's territory, respecting Nigeria's sovereignty, also hopefully training Nigerian military on proper uses of the military, but then also taking out these terrorists in ways that they won't be able to terrorize Christians again, these individuals being able to terrorize Christians again. I'll just add that this is really close to my heart, having just been in Nigeria. I was there in March, and I met with many of the Christians that we, Christian Freedom International, are helping. We are focusing on the survivors. These are the widows, the children, the adults who have survived the horrific attacks against Christians, because we want to help them in the aftermath of what's happening. You know, oftentimes our attention will be on the really atrocious attacks, and rightfully so, but we also need to pay attention to what is happening to the Christians after the attacks, those who survive. So we come alongside to provide emergency aid, but to help them to have the skills and the abilities to build a future for themselves. So we provide child sponsorships for the child survivors of massacres and other attacks. By helping to provide for their education, it's equipping them to build a future for themselves and to have a future, to have a vision for a positive future for themselves and their communities. We are helping with skill training for adults and widows so that they can start small businesses, giving them the seed money to start the small businesses, and helping with mentorship programs, not only after they graduate the programs, but so they have someone that can walk alongside them as they face the challenges of starting small businesses, and to provide the counseling that's needed as well as they're dealing with trauma. So I would encourage people, you can go to our website to learn more at christianfreedom.org.
Okay, Wendy, thank you for that. All right, how about if we transition to another country? It's my understanding that despite all the turmoil going on in Iran, that there actually are people who are Christians in Iran. Is there anti-Christian persecution taking place in that country? And of course, again, as we record these words, they probably change almost on a daily basis. But what are your thoughts on Iran?
Yeah, the ruling regime in Iran has for decades persecuted Christians, and in particular, it's converts from Islam that they really put their attention to, and will arrest, jail them in some of the worst jails, torture them in the jails. Some don't survive. Some they may be released, but may get rearrested. So it's been extremely difficult for Christians who've come to the faith in Iran. And so we're hearing reports from inside Iran since the American strikes and the Israeli strikes against Iran have been conducted. And the reports are of Christians who are saying they're suffering the effects of what's happening, on the economy, of the bombings that are occurring. But they say what they fear worse is if we stop, because their hope is that the ruling regime will be overthrown and that leaders will come into place who will respect Christians, respect religious freedom, and that they can live freely. Now, the reports have been over the years is that the church is growing inside Iran. We won't really know until there's more openness. I'm looking forward to that day when there is more openness and we can see and meet these Christians who have been enduring, who have persevered, who, especially those who have come to the faith, that have left Islam, that knowing that by coming to the faith in Jesus Christ, that they could be suffering so much. And I would love to learn from them why and how they were able to make that decision and stick to it despite the cost.
Wow. So we will yet to learn about that. That's exciting. China.
So China has caught our attention, the worldwide attention, particularly with President Trump's recent visit there, because Christian leaders, pastors have been arrested by the Chinese, by communist leaders. And several of them, their names are known. And so there have been active publicity campaigns to draw attention to their plight, but also to try and get them freed. And so President Trump did promise that he would bring up at least one pastor's name, if not more pastor's names, when he met with the Chinese leadership, with Xi Jinping and other leaders. We will see what ends up happening. Now, what I would ask people to pray for is that sometimes by putting more attention on particular people, they then have, you could say, more high value to them, to their persecutors. So knowing that there's so much attention on them, they can try and extract more promises, to extract more actions on the part of the U.S. or others in exchange for their release. So we've not seen President Trump ever give in to demands or promises like that. He's very clear thinking. He knows how the enemy thinks, What we would just ask for prayers, for God to work in ways that we can't even imagine, to not only free those whose names we know, but to also free those whose names we don't yet know, but are being held and, really suffering for their faith.
How about just a quick comment on Taiwan, where there is religious freedom for Christians, and there are Christians. It's about maybe 6% of the population. It's been described as having a silent revival, you know, with the growth and so forth. But if China, Red China, took over Taiwan, and they sort of somehow claim that they, you know, own China, which, or Taiwan, which they do not, but if they did take over, that would be awful for the Christians in Taiwan.
It would be the same thing that we've seen happen in Hong Kong. When China, the communists have taken complete control of Hong Kong, and they have jailed freedom heroes and Christians like Jimmy Lai, who was very influential as a journalist. He published newspapers and websites, and he's been held. The Chinese communists consider him to be a national security threat, which isn't that an interesting insight into the mindset of the communists, that simply believing in Jesus Christ and having our allegiance to Jesus Christ is considered a threat to their national security. So yes, Taiwan can see their future by what has happened in Hong Kong if the communists were to take control of Taiwan.
Amazing. Okay, Bangladesh, which used to be what? East Pakistan. How are things there for Christians?
Yes, I was just in Bangladesh a couple of months ago. A great concern was the elections that were held in just last year. And it looked like the Islamist party, so this is a party of radical extremists, it looked like they were going to win the elections by hook or by crook, by threatening other candidates, by threatening the voters. And to our great surprise, not only ours, but even democracy experts, their surprise, pleasant surprise, was the Islamist party did not win. However, they did win more seats in the parliament. So they gained power, not as much power as they had expected to win, but they have gained more power in the parliament. So we encourage people to pray for the Christians in Bangladesh, particularly, again, it's the converts. It's those that have left Islam, Muslims who have become Christians, that are just the number one target of the Islamists. That's the network of people that we work with, Christian Freedom International and working quietly within Bangladesh, are helping those who have come to the faith and face just a daily pressure on them from their families, from the society, from the imams and mosques in their areas, maybe not as much from the government, except for government officials who just turn their eyes when there is societal persecution against Christians. They just simply look the other way. It's done with complete impunity. Those that are exacting these violent measures and pressures against Christians are not held to justice. So those are the ones that we're working with by providing safe houses and emergency care for them. In fact, I would even ask our listeners right now to lift up a young woman who came to Christ when she was pregnant, and she and her husband had been waiting for years to get pregnant. But he, when he found out that she became a Christian, beat her. Thankfully, she was able to get away. Pregnancy survived, her baby survived. She gave birth, but her family and her husband's family has rejected her. When they reject her, I don't mean just that they won't allow her to even live with them, but they deny her any help, and they even have beaten her, even as a brand new mother. So we're helping to provide a safe place for her to live, a place in privacy and security. And I would ask for our listeners to pray for her. We can't give her name.
No, that's fine. And we're out of time. But let me go ahead and give the website, Wendy. Okay, it's christianfreedom.org. Thank you so much for calling our attention to all these things. God bless you, Wendy. All the best.
God bless. Thank you.
Okay, thanks now. Bye-bye.